Hey guys, and welcome to the Provocus podcast, where we talk about things you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
Hey, I'm Bill.
Apparently this guy's name is Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, great, man. I just stumbled into this weird guy's room. He said he was part of a podcast, so I shot him, and I'm here now.
It's crazy. You sound a lot like that guy.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's, he said we might be long lost cousins, but I was like, I didn't believe him. Josh shot him again. So...
Well, that's incredibly violent.
Well, you should see what happened to the guy last week.
Again. how you doing?
But no, like, dude, imagine this is someone's first episode and they actually thought my name was Bill for a little bit there. I'm Ethan, Flapjacks of Gaming, you know the name, or if you don't, I'll find you. So I'm doing good, I guess. We're recording this the same day as we did the override button episode, because we started to pre-record because at this point I should be moved into my apartment, but just in case, I don't know how long it's going to take to like fully move everything in, so I'll probably take a couple Sundays to like do that, so that's why we're pre-recording. So yeah, but I mean, it's probably, even once we're done with the pre-recording thing, we'll probably still do like 1 week ahead, that way we're always a week ahead. So if something comes up, like luckily this week John was available on Saturday, but let's say like John wasn't available on Saturday, we would have been screwed. Not in the sense that like, if like, we would have been screwed in the sense if we were doing one each week, because then like we'd still be doing one each week. What I'm trying to say is like, if the episode we recorded on that Sunday was going out on that Friday, because then if we didn't have like, because I'm not really available during the week outside of Wednesday, which me and John do something Wednesday right now because it's Deltarune. But like besides that, I'm not really available, so we wouldn't be able to record the podcast during the week. And so if skipping a week is like, that would honestly like kill a podcast. If you have a schedule that you've been maintaining for as long as we have, skipping a week would just like a murder. Like the algorithms from on the different sites like Spotify, Amazon Music, like that kind of stuff is like, oh, these guys, their podcast is dead. They're not uploading anymore. Kill them. So I've heard horror stories from people that have like missed a week for whatever reason, and their search algorithm got slashed because of it. And so that's the last thing I want to happen. I'd rather do more episodes than miss a week, right? I even said that back in the day when the third guy was very unreliable. And so I would tell John, like, I'd rather us do a duo episode than skip an episode, because skipping an episode just destroys you. So yeah, that's probably the plan going forward. So I guess that makes our, headlines a little bit late, but they're always late anyway. So it really doesn't matter. So.
I mean, speaking of, do you have a headline?
Well, but wait a minute. I wasn't ready for that. You got to talk about your day.
I don't have a day.
What do you mean?
For me, I guess, if you must hear about my life, if I have to participate in this channel, I've been chilling. I think I didn't mention this during the last episode, but I mentioned it just before, that I got my AC back. It's nice and cool in my room again, and not hotter than the sun, like it was during the past week or so. I was getting my freaking AC fixed. It wasn't fixed until Thursday, and I think it was last week when I was saying that it stopped working last like Friday or Saturday. It was rough. So it's very nice to have it back on. The heat wave is kind of like dissipating by this point, so it's kind of like the worst timing altogether. But at least I got it now, so
right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I would not have wanted to bed in John's position, because having no AC when it's like 100 degrees, I would have probably just died. I would have just passed out and died right then and there. Jesus, I'm coming to see you. Just that's it. So I did not do well in heat like that, because. Like, you can't, like, for me, it's like, I can't even work. Like, I can't do anything. I can't sleep, I can't work. It's like, it just really sucks. So.
Right. And it sucks because sleeping was a real issue for me too, because I would wake up and I'd be like, oh, it's so hot, I can't fall asleep. It's the middle of the night. Like, one day I woke up at like 5 o'clock and I'm like, well, I guess this is what I'm getting up now.
Right.
But enough about me. Headlines. You stalled long enough.
I don't got one. It's over. I shot this guy over here. That's my headline. He's dead.
Breaking news. Local podcaster found dead.
It just says suspect name Bill, and that's all it says. You know how it says like their middle name and last name? Just Bill. But
Bill wanted for questioning.
Yeah, the name of this episode is just Bill. Like, people are like, wait, what? What are they? What's this episode about? Yeah, I tried to find one. It's a lot of political stuff, so I don't care about that. So no, don't got those. But I do have something else, John.
Is it an email?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you took a long time to respond.
Yes, it's an email, darn it. No, I said no, as in like because I was hoping you wouldn't just spoil it. I was be like, oh well, in the next segment we got an email, like whatever. But you didn't do that, so I see how it is. But I do got an email, and I may have mentioned this a little bit ago that I'm not gonna be reading any emails about the situation because we're past that, way past it at this point. So I'm not. I can't be bothered to talk about it anymore. So, but this email does not talk about it. This came out still after, though. And the email is, hey guys, hope you are doing well. Just wanted to write you guys to say that I really enjoy your podcast. Been listening to it for a while, and I listened to it with my... I can't read. This is Deltarune all over. And me and my friends listen to it constantly. My favorite episode is actually the season 1 finale. It was just a pure banger, and I loved the entire two hour section of it. Which wasn't it 2.5 hours? So you hated the other section, but the two hours you loved. Yeah, that section sucked. I wonder which section you hated. No, I'm sure you're just paraphrasing. This is from Justin, by the way. So thank you, Justin, for your email. Appreciate it, man. Season 1 finale was a banger. I'm actually kind of already getting writing stuff down for the season 2 finale, because believe it or not, we're approaching it. We're way past the halfway point for season 2, so that's crazy to me, man. That's crazy. Like, this is... Time doesn't exist, you know? It just doesn't. Time is an illusion created by the government. But,
I knew it.
I knew it. Season 1 finale, awesome episode. There's a lot of really good sections. It kind of encapsulated all of what season 1 was, which was we did a Hills thing again, because obviously Hills was like a major part of season 4 with the 4 episodes we did on. Then we did the Infricate section again, which Infricate unfortunately is down. It's not there anymore, which really sucks. And ChatGPT is not the same. ChatGPT is not as funny. It doesn't have the ability to really make super funny stories that just make absolutely no sense. Because ChatGPT is smarter, and in which case it makes a cohesive story, which is not usually as funny.
We're looking for the stupid AI.
We're looking for the stupid AIs, yeah. So I don't know if Infricate just planned, I don't know if they took it down to work on it. I should maybe look that up, because I don't know, because I just saw a thing that said they took it down, but I don't know why they would have done that. Yeah, so it's an awesome thing. I don't know, you just said you've been listening for a while. I don't know what time frame that might be, maybe. Because a while, I think, was anywhere between, 5 weeks to since we started. So that I would say, that's probably a while. Hope you continue to enjoy. That's what we're here for. So, thank you, Justin. John, you got anything to say to good old Justin over here?
Justin, I appreciate your kind words, and I'm glad we provide something that is enjoyable for you to watch. And thanks for staying around, because if you've been for a while and your favorite episode is the season 1 finale, that was a while ago. So
yeah, assuming they listen to every episode, that's
everyone has to listen to every episode. Well,
exactly. We'll find you. But anyway. If he did listen to every episode, then season 1 finale was, this is episode 68 or something. So it's that's 68 episodes. If you started on season 1 finale, which I doubt you would, because that seems like a strange episode to start with. But I'm not opposed. I mean, if that's your first episode, good for you, I guess. But for me, if I go into podcasts, I'm not going to be like, oh, let me listen to the season one finale. let me understand what season one was. I mean, I guess maybe. But either way. So I'm assuming you started even before the season one finale, which would be like 70 plus episodes at that point, which is awesome. So assuming, again, they listen to every episode. But even still, it's been quite a while. So. Yeah, thank you, Justin, for your kind words, and definitely appreciate you sticking around, because obviously you have been. And you also, thank you for taking the time to write an email as well.
I think we can get into the episode. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Mr. Krabs. Give it to me, Mr. Krabs.
I guess it's Mr. Krabs and Bill. That's our names. But today, we're going to be talking about video games, because what else would we talk about on this channel? It's all we ever talk about, obviously. And I'm gonna give you a game, and I'm gonna be asking, would you let your kids play this game? Is basically what we're going for. And if not, maybe provide some reasoning. If so, maybe also provide reasoning. That this is a podcast.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we give the reason. And also, I didn't really think of this initially when I wrote this. But for the kid's age, we'll determine that, unless John wants to just give me an age along with the game, then we can do that. Otherwise, I think it's up to the person to interpret what age they would let their kid play it.
Maybe even to add to it, like, if not, you know, like, what age would you be like, all right.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
All right, so for the very first game, we're going to go with a classic of Minecraft.
Minecraft, okay. So are we doing the thing where it's up to the person to interpret, or are you going to give me an age? Okay.
Up to you to interpret.
Are they playing Minecraft? The answer is an absolutely astounding yes. And also, I'm letting my kids play the Xbox 360 version first. And the reason I do that is because I grew up on the Xbox 360 version, and I want them to have the same childhood that I did. So, absolutely, they're playing the game 100%. There's, like, no universe where I wouldn't, because Minecraft is such a amazing game. It builds creativity. It's been shown to reduce stress. Like, I mean, most games reduce stress. Well, I shouldn't say most games. Majority of games reduce stress. And then, like, Minecraft especially, just because it's peaceful, and you get to... It, like, really shines on the child's creativity. So I would absolutely let them play the game.
I mean, that's an easy one. It's Minecraft. It doesn't have, like, anything that I'd be like, oh, maybe that's too much for a child. Like, maybe it's creepy sometimes.
I mean, the warden is the only thing I'd be concerned with, is because it might scare the crap out of him. But also, I don't see them, like, going that far down to the... They might not even know that that's a thing.
And definitely what you're saying is, like, it helps facilitate the creativity, which is super important in a developing child's brain, I would say. And so, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, you want to play Minecraft? Let's do it. Let's play Minecraft together.
Right, and then that's part of it, too, is I'd play split screen with them sometimes, too, if I could.
So, yeah, that is definitely a good one, a good answer. I'd be like, actually, I'm going to let my child play Minecraft because there are zombies, and zombies aren't actually real, and so I don't want to put any false ideas.
That's the explanation?
But obviously, Minecraft, it's a great game for all ages, and so, yeah, of course. What's a good one that's like, it's kind of,
yeah, just to clarify too, John, make sure it's games that I'd be aware of, so don't say like Kingdom Hearts whatever, because I don't play those games.
Would you let your kids play Kingdom Hearts? I mean, no information.
No, I hate those games.
All right, well, I was like, no, not a child of mine would be playing that. But what about, you know, we'll jump up in age range significantly. Call of Duty. Now, I played this as a kid, but I'm interested to see what your perspective on a child playing a Call of Duty game.
Okay, so I have two answers here. One answer is yes, one answer is no. So, the yes answer, is if they're... So I'm letting them play this above the age of 10. Once they're past 10, I think they're a little bit more mature than they would be otherwise. Now, once they're past 10, I'll let them play zombies. The zombie mode. Yeah, the zombie mode. Because the zombie mode, it's like not too violent. You're just shooting zombies. You're not actually killing other people. What they're not playing is they're not playing multiplayer. They're not playing multiplayer at that age. I do not need the people that typically play Call of Duty telling my child, "Oh, you're bad at the game, kid. Get out of here." Like, I don't need him getting bullied on a game. And also, that's just the scratch on the surface of what people say on, like, local chat and stuff. So, yeah, I would definitely let them play zombies because, again, I played zombies as a kid, so same type of childhood thing. So, yeah, they play that. I wouldn't really let them play multiplayer until, like, they become a teenager, so.
And I think that's fair because when I played it, I didn't play zombies mode, but I would play Modern Warfare 2, I think, on the PS3. But I would only really play with my siblings, you know. I'd play with my brother and my sister, and we would just have, a fun time. And accuse each other of screen cheating. And so I didn't have the toxic, like, "You suck, kid. Get a life.
Play this. You suck,
all,
kid.
If you're not spending all your time playing this game and didn't get good, what are you even doing?" Those sort of things. I would probably be like, "Okay, you can play maybe at, like, around 10. Like, you can play the zombies mode because you're just killing zombies, not even killing people. So it's a little bit better." So I think that's a pretty good answer, I would say. But, you know, if someone was like, "I actually wouldn't let my kid play Call of Duty even on the zombies," I can still see that being a fair response.
Yeah.
Because it is, you are shooting things.
Yeah, yep.
And which is a bit more violent than I have a sword and I'm smacking a zombie around.
Right.
Alright, so good answer, I would say. What about, what if your child is a masochist and plays Dark Souls? What do you think of that?
Well, I haven't really played Dark Souls, so I wouldn't really know how to answer. I want to know what's in the game.
Fair enough. I figured you might, because it's Dark Souls.
But I played Elden Ring, so if you want to do Elden Ring, I can give you an answer. Right, but
let's push Elden Ring.
Elden Ring, from what I remember, there's like a couple things that are like, maybe you should be a little bit more mature for that. But at the same time, if I raise the kid right, then they are probably going to be mature when they become teenagers. So when they become a teenager, I was like, let's teenage and beyond. Definitely, I'll let them play Elden Ring if they want to. I'll let them know, hey, this is a really hard game though. So no throwing the controller, no punching the TV, like that kind of stuff. I'll make sure they control their anger. But yeah, Elden Ring was a fun game, man. I haven't played the DLC yet, I'll be honest. So I know I'm going to get people coming after me for that. But I played the main game. I had enjoyment with it, and also didn't enjoy it because I hated myself, because I would be stuck on a boss for like five hours and be like, "Why am I so bad at this?"
Right.
But, yeah, so I'd let them know just ahead of time, being like, "Hey, this is a game that's supposed to make you mad. It's supposed to, like, it's gonna be fun once you beat it, but it's like, there's gonna be times where you want to throw the controller, but you gotta reserve yourself, and you're not allowed to do that. The second they throw something, I'm turning the game off, because you gotta control your anger. But if I raise them right, then hopefully they don't do that. So anything teenager and beyond, I'll let them play the game.
That's fair. I think you can even turn off blood to make it, like, a little bit better for
younger audiences.
So, like, that's another one that helps with it. As well as, like, it's pretty fantasy driven, like, there's violence for sure, but it's a game where I'm like, you know, if my kid wants to play Elden Ring and they're like, "Oh, this, I heard this game, it's a classic," because I'm like a 50-year-old man at this point, it's like, "Can I play it? It's called Elden Ring." And I'm like, "Elden Ring, yes, I remember that game."
I haven't heard that name in years.
I'd be like, "Oh, kid, but listen, this game is really, really hard. If you start to get frustrated, you gotta take a break because I don't want you breaking the TV. I don't want you breaking the controllers. Those are expensive. I don't want to be paying for that."
Right. And,
so if you get annoyed, you gotta take a break. And so I'd probably around the age of like 12, 13 be like, "Hey, you play Elden Ring." There's not too much in it that I'm like, "How dare you let a teenager play that game? It's outrageous." Those are like 5 years old, and like, maybe wait a little while. You're not going to do well.
There was a character that had, like, we'll say, benefits, from what I remember. But, like I like, if they're a teenager, they might be mature enough if I, again, raise them right.
Right. Yeah. It really just depends for that one. See. I'm going to expect your answer for this one. GTA 5.
Probably not. Like, I was allowed to play it when I was, like, 15. And even then, there was some a lot of stuff in it. Because, you know, we all have that experience of finding the adult fun center. And being like, ooh, what's this place? And, you realize the horrors of society. But, so my answer is probably not. If they're past 16 and I think they're mature enough for it, I'll do it. But, cause obviously once they're 18 enough, like 18 is perfectly fine. Like they're borderline an adult at that point. But, 16, even then 16, if they're mature enough, I'll let them do it. If they're super immature, then absolutely not. But.
Right. I believe for M-rated games, you have to be 17 to buy it yourself. If you're allowed to buy it yourself, they should be allowed to play it. So at that point, I'd be like, sure. Earlier than that, though, I'm like, I don't think so. I played it, how old was I when I started playing GTA 5? I think I was in, 8th grade, which is pretty young for it. Like, I'd probably be like, maybe not. But... not to like sound like I'm extraordinarily humble. I was a bit more mature for my age at that point. So,
right.
I was like, it's just a video game. It's fun. So yeah, that one I probably would be like, you gotta do a little bit for that one. I'm sorry. It's a GTA 5. Like I know at this point it's 2037. It's been a while. It's a classic, but you just can't buy it.
Right.
All right, moving on. Let's go with, let me think. You know, I know you're a fan of the Far Cry games. What about that one?
Absolutely.
Far Cry,
not.
Let's go with 4. Okay.
Absolutely fair not. Enough. There is, you're the only thing you do is shoot people, and oh my god, the brutality in these games. There's a scene where you, where the character you play as, I can't remember if this is 4 or 5. Doesn't matter. They're all the type of same game. Where the character grabs a knife, shoves it through someone's skull from their neck bone, twists it, and pulls the head off of their body. So absolutely not. They're not touching this game until they can buy it themselves. Again, same thing. Once they're able to buy themselves, obviously they're allowed to play it, but I'm not buying it for them.
That's a fair response, I would say. Because, yeah, that's violent. Like, I've never played myself, so I really don't have much skin in the game. Be like, Jimmy, I'd probably be like, if I had a kid, and they're like, oh, can I play this game? Like, say it, how about I play it first, and then I'll let you know. But that's usually what my parents did, is if I wanted to play a game that was, like, a little bit more mature, they'd be like, my dad would be like, all right, well, let me play it myself. And if I think it's fine, then I'll let you play it.
Right.
And I'd be like, okay. And then I'd go play more Kingdom Hearts because I was playing that a lot.
Right.
Obviously. So I think that's a good way of going about it. Let's go with You Know It, You Love It, Undertale.
Yeah, probably like even at like 10. I would do it. I'd want them to be old enough that they could understand the meaning of the game, though. Because if they play it way too young, they're not going to really understand the true meaning behind it. As well as the Genocide Run is super dark. So I'd probably let them play, around 10 to 12. And then, I mean, the older the better. But if they come to me at, like, 10 years old, like, hey, can I get Undertale? I'd be like, all right. Because it is a really good game. It's I think it's like one of the only really close to perfect games out there. The message is beautiful. The Genocide Run is super dark and chilling. Sans, oh, that's all I got to say about him.
Damn.
So, So yeah, I mean, I'd definitely let him play probably around that range. But like I said, the older the better. So I'll probably wait for them to ask for it. Because once they ask for it, I'll get it for them if they're past that age range. But I won't give it to them naturally, just because I think, they should want to seek it out. That's the type of game I think they should seek it out themselves.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's a good game. It's what is it officially rated? Is it rated T?
It's rated.
I can't imagine
T probably.
Yeah. But it's. Especially if they're doing the pacifist route, I'd be like, all right, there's a route, I'll guide you a little bit, because sometimes you can make stupid mistakes and let the monster kid fall to his death.
Yeah, only an idiot would do that.
Yes, yeah, I mean, I hated the kid, so that's why I left
him. It just immediately self-incriminates.
But, I'd probably be like, yeah, I mean, I'll sit here with you and let you play it. Don't trust the flower, that's all I'll say.
Don't trust the flower.
And so, yeah, it's a good game, a good message. Definitely see what you're saying there. This is an interesting one, because I see a lot of kids playing this series for what it is. Five Nights at Freddy's.
That's a good one. I'd probably say same thing as Undertale. If they are seeking it out around the 10 to 12 range, I'll let them play it. But at the same time, I'd have to be like, hey, this game's scary. You're gonna get scared. I wouldn't let them do it right before bed as well. So, yeah, it'd be a mix of yes and no. Like, I wouldn't allow them to play, like, CERN games. Like, I don't think they need to be playing FNAF VR. They don't need to be playing any of the VR ones. Security Breach, I probably wouldn't let them play either. But yeah, I'd let them play the classics. And then as they get older, I'd let them be like, hey, there's this game too, by the way. And, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, I mean, it's the underlying story can be pretty dark. But if you're just playing the game and you're not, like, too concerned about the lore, it's not that bad.
Dude, imagine, like, you played the game for, like, 5 years, and then your dad comes up to you being like, hey, did you know that FNAF actually is a story about kids being killed? It's like, wait, what?
It's like, what? How dare you say that to me? That doesn't make sense. It does make sense. I mean, a little bit. The lore is always all over the place. I can barely explain things. But that makes sense. So that's fair. I would probably be like, all right, kid. If you seek it out, and you're like 10 years old, be like, okay, just know it's pretty scary. If you don't, you're not playing it before bed, but you know, you can play the classics, I would definitely say. Cause like, VR isn't great for, small children to be playing anyway.
Yeah.
Because like the headset can mess with their eyes and whatnot. It's even like recommended that you be, I think, at least 13 to play VR games. So for those ones, I'd be like, no, you can't play those. You're too young. So that's definitely fair.
Right.
What about the Stanley Parable?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. The only, I think the, doesn't it write a swear? I think he says like one or two things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said he says damn a lot, but that's not really count that. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. It's a funny game. It's a good game. I just get the Ultimate Deluxe, because Ultimate Deluxe is the core game plus the DLC. So, yeah, I probably would, honestly. I love the game. It was super fun. I had an amazing time playing both the original and the Ultra Deluxe version. It's a very interesting story, and it's also one of a... It's a choice-based games, and I love choice-based games, and same with Undertale, so that way you can kind of decide. It shows the child's creativity, makes them choose their own path, and like that kind of stuff. So I probably would, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair one. I'd be like, that game, it's super funny. You can play that game, kid. Especially if they're like, you know, in the double digits. I'd be like, yeah, I mean, it's a good game. Maybe there's a few moments, like, is it old enough to be like, all right, I'm not meant to say damn all the time. like they do in the video game. Like, it's old enough to understand that, but I don't want to play the game.
Yeah.
So, that's fair, that's fair. What about Uno?
You love to Uno? Like the digital game? Because these are video games.
The digital Uno game for, made by Ubisoft.
Absolutely not. Too mature.
Too mature. I mean, the cards, you know, they got numbers. Terrible freaking.
Yeah, and then
ideas in
there. Well, I think it's less of the numbers and the more trauma that comes from the game of, like, you don't have a red and you have to pull 25 cards until you get a red and you're basically doomed from the start. And it's basically what happens to Markiplier in that one episode. So, like, you should have remembered. That's all I gotta say. But, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, they can play Uno, I guess. That's not really a game that I'm too concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, it's Uno. I played the physical card game as a kid. I don't see why they got on that. It's like, hey, my buddy Jimmy and my buddy Phil really wants to play this Uno game online. Can you get it for me? Like, you know what? You're playing with your friends? Why not? It's like also like $5, so it's not like I'm going to be like, need to pull out a load to play this game.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Moving on to the more mature side, what about Phasmophobia?
I'm not sure what you mean by mature necessarily, because all you do, I mean, you can die. I mean, yeah, I guess. Comparatively to Uno, I guess it's a bit more mature. But yeah, they're definitely playing that at some point, because that was my. It was one of my favorite games. I mean, it still kind of is. I just don't have a lot of time to play games nowadays. because like 90% of the time I do play games, it's for YouTube. So I really don't have much time to play games naturally. But yeah, they're definitely playing at some point. Probably like a teenager. As soon as they become a teenager, I'm opening up the door for them. Because even then we could play together if they wanted to. Because it's a co-op game, obviously. I'd show them the ropes. I'd be a master at it, because I have, like, 1,000 hours in the game. So, yeah, I'm a master. I watch people play the game. Like, I have a streamer that I watch. I watch his other stuff, too. It's not just Faz, but he makes Faz content a lot as well. And so I've learned a lot of tips and tricks from him, and so, like, I'm pretty borderline the best at the video game ever. So I could show them the ropes, and it'd be fun. And by the time they're a child, there's probably, the game's already been out for a while, and the updates are all done, and the Horror 2.0 is out and stuff like that, so it'd probably be even better of a game than it is now. So yeah, absolutely.
I would probably be like, yeah, you know, it's a scary game, you know, if you like that sort of thing. Again, no, not before bed. But yeah, you can play it. So yeah, that's a fair one. This is an interesting for the game I'm looking at, God of War 2018.
I think once they're 13, they can play it. I think, you know, if they're mature enough, I don't see a problem with it. You are, like, I mean, you're mostly killing whatever those things are. So, yeah, I could, yeah, I can see it. I'd probably let them play. If they show interest in it, I wouldn't, like, really show them that or anything. Like, with Undertale and Phasmophobia, I'd like, show them. But with this game, if they find it and they seek it out, then I'll get it for them.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one for the sake of, like, if, like, kids play it. Because it is incredibly violent. Like, there's so much blood in it. Yeah. Every time you kill somebody, it is a violent animation. There's a good bit of swearing from Brock. But the message is interesting, because the whole game is kind of basically telling you that violence is not great.
Yeah.
And that you shouldn't be like, that shouldn't be a, you should try to find some diplomatic solutions to your problems, because, like, the entire time Kratos is killing things, he's like depressed about his past, and all the characters around him are like trying to get him to become better, and the entire story is becoming about becoming a better person. So it is an interesting one. I probably wouldn't be like, if they're like 5 years old, they're like, can I play this game called God of War?
And yeah,
like,
no, definitely not at that age.
If they're like 14, I'd be like, all right, you can. It's just keep in mind, it's pretty violent. And they're like, okay. Because, you know, if you're at 15, you don't care.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'd let them play that before I let them play GTA 5.
Yeah, that's fair. Because in terms of, you know, GTA 5, you got the adult stuff.
Right. Well, you have that, and then you have the ability, because GTA is literally the most open-world game ever, besides Minecraft, really. And so, because of that, you have the ability to just shoot anything you want. You have the ability to blow up anything you want. So, like, that kind of promotes other stuff, whereas that, like, yeah, there's blood, and there's gore, and there's all that kind of stuff, but, like, you can't just walk up to a random person on the street and shoot them, you know what I mean?
Right. And a lot of the enemies in God of War instigate. Like, they're either an enemy that's, like, human, and they're starting the fight, or it's self-defense because it's, like, some animal with some, like, zombie-like thing.
Right.
So it's an interesting one. If there was, like, a mod that, like, turns down the blood, maybe I'd be like, 13, 12, maybe. But anything younger than that, it's a no-go.
You like, you mod the game and you don't tell them, and then when they're like 18, they play the game again just to play it again. They're like, wow, I don't remember this game being so violent.
it replaces all the death animations with hugs.
Yeah, it's just like a friend game or something. You're like, wow, I can murder people? I didn't know that.
No, obviously, it's a tricky one for sure. It's not that I brought it up. I thought it was interesting. Let's see. What is a good solid game that you have played that you would be able to say? What about a Thief Simulator? Because I think I've seen that you've made videos on that, right?
Yeah, I've done 5 episodes on it at some point. Yeah, Thief Simulator is like a cartoonish game. It's not like it does, like, if it was real life graphics, I'd be like, well, I don't know about that one. But because it's like, it's still good graphics, obviously. It's good graphics for the game that it is. But because it's like sort of like not realistic graphics, yeah, I mean, 13 beyond, I don't see a problem with it. Cause you're stealing things. There's really no swearing in it, cause the only person that really talks is the Vinny. And then I get the I'm not counting the damn shopkeeper because he just says welcome back. That's all he says. At least at the part where I've gotten to in the game. Maybe at the end of the game he's like, thanks for giving me money. That's all he says. Yeah. So you're just, I mean, the tactics that are used in the game are tactics that are used in real life. But outside of that, There's not too much problem I have with the game. So yeah, I mean, it's a fun game. I quite enjoy it. I see myself, like, it's one of those games that I'm like, ooh, I should play the game again. Which a lot of games don't get me to do that. Like only the really good games do. So yeah, it's a pretty good game. So yeah, I think 13 plus, why not?
Yeah, I think that's a good age graphic. Because if they're too young, it's like, maybe it might promote like, ooh, stealing is okay. But if they're old enough to be like, yeah, stealing is clearly not okay. I know that. And I think 13's around that age where they're like, they're able to understand those sorts of things a little bit better. And so I think that one's pretty good. Because, like, again, yeah, you're stealing stuff, but, like, you're not murdering anybody.
Right.
You're not running down people with your car.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah. You also can't, like, knock out guards or anything. Like, you can't really injure anybody.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Let's see, where we at on time?
We're still really good, so don't worry about it.
Alright, sounds good. What about Portal and Portal 2? You gotta play both games. So if you gotta play one, you gotta play the
other. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's really no violence in that game, really. You're destroying robots, which is not violent, really. So, yeah, I mean, 10 plus, I think, is fine, because I still want them to understand, like, the story and the comedy of both games. So, and it's a puzzle game, which would help them understand complex puzzles, and, like, puzzle games, actually, I saw a study of this, and I wish I could pull it up to give you the actual correct stats, so I'm completely paraphrasing here. But there's a study done that shows that kids who play puzzle games at an early age have better cognitive abilities as an adult. So, yeah, I'd absolutely play puzzle games Which Portal 1 and 2 would definitely be on that list. So, if not the first puzzle games they play.
Yeah, I would say that's fair things. I guess it's pretty tame. I've played both games. The puzzles help with their thinking ability, that helps them think outside the box, because they're like, I don't know, there's no straight up forward way of solving this issue. But then if they can think about it logically, they might be able to find a way around it, and that's obviously going to help them later on in life.
Right, yep.
So those are good games, I would say, for sure. What about Papers, Please?
What I said about Thief Simulator not having realistic graphics. That is literally pixel graphics. There is still murder. There is still deception and murder. So I'd say 13 plus is probably a good age for that. Because at the age of 13, if they're mature enough, they can handle it. If they're not mature, I probably would wait a little bit longer. But that's also a game that I will let them seek that out. It's a great game, don't get me wrong. But I've got a couple endings. I haven't completely finished it just yet. But it's a great game so far. You do have to actively shoot people. if they're mature enough, I'd let them at 13.
Yeah, I think that's a good age bracket for that game. Plus, you can turn off the nudity.
You can turn off the nudity, yeah.
So that's definitely one that helps with making it a bit more accessible to the younger audiences. I was like, all right, you can play this, but if I see you turn that nudity section on, you're getting off the game. You're grounded.
Right.
Because obviously you don't want them to be like, oh, well, this is okay. They'll just do this thing. That is a good one, for sure. I'm trying to think of games that, like, I could also say something. Mostly I want to say the games that you would say something as well. But
yeah.
That I could also add to. It makes it more interesting. What about the Untitled Goose Game?
I have not played that.
You not play the Untitled Goose Game?
No. I mean, I'm sure it is, but, like, I haven't played it.
If not that, then... I mean, you know what? I should have your channel open. Then I can see what games you play on your channel. That might help.
I actually don't play any video games on my channel. I'm actually a vlogger.
It's a lie. Like, all the games on your channel, it's someone else playing. What about Mario Party 7?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that can be played at a really young age. It's a Mario game. There's, like, no violence whatsoever. The most violence you get is, like, pushing your friend into the abyss, to win the minigame. So, outside of that, yeah, I can't really think of anything. So, yeah, I mean, I would say, like, six plus is probably when I'd let them do that.
Yeah, that's a good age, because it's Mario Party, like, it's pretty tame stuff. You're not gonna get anything too mature for them. It's just a party game, you know?
Right.
It's not like you're playing Murder Simulator or anything like that.
Murder Simulator.
That is a fair one. I'm trying to think if I ever played any of the Mario Party games as a kid. I know I played Wii Party, which is a similar type game, but it's not, you know, Mario Party.
Yeah.
And I played Crash Bash, which is Crash Bandicoot's party game.
Oh, really? What? That's a thing?
Yeah, it was on the GameCube.
How have I never heard of this game?
It wasn't very popular. Most people did not like it, but I thought it was fun.
Okay. Well, alright then.
Speaking of Crash Bandicoot, what about Crash Bandicoot?
I mean, again, rage type of game. The most violence you get is, like, I guess there is technically, but they wouldn't really look into this. There is technically, like, animal cruelty in it, I guess, but they don't really probably look at that. Yeah, I mean, like, 10 plus, I don't see why not. As long as I tell them that it's a rage game and that they're not allowed to. Same thing with that. What I said with the other one, where they can't, like, throw the controller and, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fair, because I played Crash Bandicoot 1, 2, and 3 as a small child. And I remember, I have a very clear, like, it's a core memory of me playing with my brother. And then we had pizza that night. It was great. A pizza's unrelated to the game.
Thank you for clarifying.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a classic. Because they were like, hey, what's this game you're playing called Crash Bandicoot? Like, you want to play Crash Bandicoot? Oh, you can play it. Just, you know, some of these levels, they got some tricky platforming. Crash 3 is definitely a good game for the young ages because it's a lot easier than the first two.
Yeah. I mean, the first one, like, I think, to me, I had the most trouble with the first one. So maybe I'd let them play the second or third one first.
And I actually didn't play the first one until I was much older, so.
That's fair.
What about Cuphead?
Probably the exact same answer as the last one. So it's a rage type game. Just like 10 plus, because it's cartoony and there's really nothing. I mean, yes, the devil's in it, but that doesn't really matter. So yeah, I'd say same probably answer as the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I'd be like, yeah, you can play it. In fact, it's two players, so I'll play it with you.
Right.
And then unless you're like, go way down, I want to play it alone. And then, all right. But 10 plus is a good age for that, because it's literally a cartoon. Like, it's the same animation style and as a classic, like, hand-drawn cartoon.
Right.
So it's really, like, if you're like, oh, it's too violent, it's like, you know what? So is Tom and Jerry. Get over it.
Yeah, so is Tom and Jerry. Exactly.
In fact, I'd say Tom and Jerry is more violent than Cuphead.
Well, he does get whacked with many different things, so.
Yes. There's that one episode where Tom is going to kill himself, so that's maybe.
I don't remember that.
It's one of the earlier ones. It's like, my goodness, this is much darker than I remember, because
right.
I'm a child. So that's a fair response. What about Lethal Company?
That's an interesting one. Yeah, I mean, Lethal Company is just a game where you... Actually, no, here's my answer. So Lethal Company is basically a game where you have to work your butt off until you die. And that's basically what life is. So, yeah, I mean, it's get some ready for life. So I'd say, you know, 13 plus. Good to go.
You know, and it also makes them not trust corporations from an early age, which is
true.
Beneficial for that. So yeah, I would say it's a good age to start playing that game. Because also, it's like, if you die, you just die. Like, you don't. It's not like blood. It's, I mean, a little scary.
There is blood though.
No, there's blood.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of blood, but like, you know, it's not like the kid's gonna be scarred for life if they play Lethal Company and die.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, Lethal Company, maybe I should change my answer to 13. I mean, I don't know if I said 13 already. But, like, the scariest thing in that game is, like, the jester who, like, winds up and then just absolutely bolts towards your face. Like, so that'd be terrifying as a 13-year-old, maybe. But I'd let them know that it's a scary game. Like, I wouldn't just be like, hey, Jimmy, so this is a really fun game about hugs and friendship. And then he goes to, like, hug the jester, and the jester just pops out of this freaking, like, windy box, and it's like, oh! And then just dies. So, I wouldn't be like that, but at the same time, I'd let them know that it's a horror game, they're gonna like, or it's gonna be scary. No doing it before bed, because then you're gonna have a nightmare, so.
Fair enough. I think that's a good response.
But, John, I think we got time for one last one, so make it a good one.
One last one, you say? I'm gonna say Super Mario Galaxy. I gotta know you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's probably the same answer as Mario Party. It's Mario Galaxy was my childhood, so they're definitely playing it at some point. I'll probably say, like, you know, maybe, like, 7 and beyond, why not, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely agree. I played it a lot as a smaller child. When I got the Wii, it was probably, I think, it wasn't the first Mario game I played, because I think the first one I played was Sunshine. Or, you know, Super Mario World, I played that one as well.
But, yeah. Yeah, really, any Mario game, I'm letting them play. So.
Yeah, Mario, it's a great game for, again, like some, I don't know, I think it was Minecraft. It's a great game for all ages because kids can enjoy it, adults can enjoy it. So I would say it's just a solid game, as well as like, it's not as like creative problem solving as like, say, Portal, but sometimes you gotta like think, oh, like, okay, how do I want to approach this platforming?
Right.
And try to figure some stuff out. So it's a pretty decent game. So I think, yeah, like 5, 7 and up around that age, a good game. I was like, it's one of the games I remember playing earliest in my life. So I was like 4, I think, when I was playing some of the Mario games. So.
Right.
Well, do you want to know who's the winner?
It better not be Bill or I'm going to shoot him. Wait a minute.
Yeah, well. Is that you? well, it's... You are the winner.
Yes! Woohoo!
Bill, he put up a good fight, but he just really just didn't add a whole lot. So
he did really shoot someone twice, so...
He did shoot someone twice, and I took points off of the second one, because like, the first time, you're getting a little repetitive.
you're missing the formula. Yeah, no, I'm currently bleeding out, I need to go to the hospital, that's why we had to end the episode, you know, so.
Yes, thank you guys so much for listening, we hope we provoked a conversation and made you laugh along the way. If you want to find myself over at, Twitch or YouTube, I'm at JeevansFeevans on both Twitch and YouTube, as well as JeevansFeevans VODs on the VOD channel. You can go check that out if you'd like. And you can also check out Eason over at FlavesXZ Gaming on YouTube. He's got so many hilarious videos over there. There's some spooky videos. It's really a little bit of fun. Yeah, so you should really check that out. It's pretty cool, dude. If I do say so myself.
John's on there as well, so.
I am, yes, on some of these videos. So you'd be like, if it's a with friends, there's a very high probability that I'm in that video.
Yeah, there's only like 4 videos where it says with friends, but John's not even in it. So like everything else John's in, so.
Yes, indeed. And then you can also find us over on Twitter at ProvokersPod. And Instagram at the Provokers Podcast Official, where you can get up to date on the news that you might want to see, whatever have you. If you've been around for a while and you know the Meet the Provokers thing, then you might want to check out the Instagram for more information. Now, whenever that goes up, you'll find it if you're not on Instagram.
It's true.
And then you can check out the Patreon, where we have called the Provokers. We have multiple tiers that allow you to get special rewards and perks, as most Patreons do. And the tiers range from $1 to $100, and each tier having more perks that I buy. So when you become a member of the Patreon, you get access to an exclusive Patreon-only Discord server, where we all are. Us two, anyway. You can check that out and hang out with us there. Tell us about all your crazy, wacky theories on the podcast. I don't know if you have any theories on the podcast. It's pretty simple, but who knows? If you do, check it out and let us know. And we also have the extended cut episodes on the Patreon and the store page. First 5 are only $3, so they're a bit different, they're a bit shorter, and there's no winner or loser, although I guess that's more of a thing of the past anyway. And then if you really enjoy them, you can check out the later ones, which are $5. So I think that's all that out of the way. We'll see you guys next time.